Hear the word of God, as it is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, Mark chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 11. It's on page 761 of the Pew Bible. Listen then, for this is the word of God. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." One day, Jesus came from Nazareth into Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Here ends the first reading. The first letter to John, John chapter 4, it's on page 943 of the Pew Bible. We're reading from verse 7, this wonderful passage. So let us continue to hear or to read the word of God. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world, so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, Our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. Thanks be to God for these readings of his word. May he add his blessing to them, and to him be all honour, praise and glory, now and always. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It seems odd to me that some people these days go out of their way not to be recognised. During last summer, I was at an airport waiting to check in, and standing in front of us was a small individual dressed in a long fur coat, boots, gloves, wide-brimmed hat, and yes, the large dark sunglasses. It was 80 degrees. As we boarded our flight at Barcelona coming back to London, there were whispers amongst the other passengers, intrigue at first, but then quickly turning to a growing tension and concern. Was this a potential hijacker or a terrorist? During the flight, my daughter had to join the toilet queue, as you do, and in returning to her seat, she was full of excitement. Kylie Minogue had used the aeroplane toilet before her. Panic over. Our suspected hijacker was indeed the pint-sized pop star, and we were all relieved, including Kylie, obviously. I get it. She probably just wanted peace, so she chose to hide her identity, not to be found out for who she was. She chose not to be recognised on that occasion. And what a shame she had to go to these lengths. Some labels don't feel good for us. Oh yes, we might yearn for a bit of celebrity status now and again, but depending on the situation, we may be the accused, the perpetrator, the victim, the Christian. Unfortunately, I'm challenged by others on a regular basis. Friends, family, people who know me, people who don't know me at all. Phrases like, you're one of these Christian types. Think you're better than me, a goody-goody type. And all these descriptions that personally I can never live up to. What is a goody-goody type anyway? So I've been wondering recently, which one word would describe us as Christians. The one word that sums up what it means, how it feels, the significance of it. So I felt that I needed to find a word that I could blow all of that inquisition, sometimes argumentative challenge, totally out of the park. Beloved, we are the beloved children of God. Being Christians, we first learned this word and its true significance in the story of Jesus' baptism. Let me read for you the King James Version of Mark's text, which Sandra read earlier. And it says, "No sooner had Jesus come up out of the water than he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit like a dove descending on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. My favour rests on you.'" Now, this is a well-known and well-preached-on part of Scripture. But when I reflected on it with fresh eyes, "You are my beloved," this text has the most amazing truth. Our intimate connection there for all of us with God in this text. "You are my beloved." Indeed, it doesn't matter which tradition of Christianity you belong to. God saying, "You are all my beloved," in my view, is surely the interpretation. You are all my beloved. And these words should be heard and accepted with all the strength, all the power, intensity, and intimacy that love holds itself. The gift of our belovedness is the greatest gift that we can receive, but also the greatest gift that we can give. You are, you and I, all of us, the beloved people of God, beloved sons, beloved daughters of God, beloved family, beloved Facebook users, beloved football supporters. We're all beloved of God. We're connected by this fact, all of us, this truth. Our reading of Jesus' baptism in Mark tells us something of the man John the Baptist. It's quite a description, actually. And we understand that John is the bridge figure between the Old Covenant and the New. He brings the season of promise to a close and makes for a new season of fulfillment by introducing Jesus and acknowledging who he is. So this story presents a kind of passing the baton from John the Baptist to Jesus. A key focus of the story is the voice from heaven. In the Gospels, most of the time God is in the background. People talk about God, and the thoughts of God are often revealed through prophets and angels, or through references in Scripture, which is, of course, the Word of God. But here in this text, God actually speaks directly as a character. The single most important thing that Mark wants to say about Jesus is this: Jesus is the Son of God. This is the statement that gives birth to the church. This is the statement that connects us to Jesus through his baptism. Why then is this so important? Jesus being the Son of God is what establishes God being present. God is present in Jesus in an absolute sense. So much so that followers worship Jesus from that point in history on. But here's another observation. Jesus in this story and throughout his ministry makes a point to go out of his way to mix socially with people who have been outcast in that society, with notorious sinners or outcast because of disease, disenfranchised people, folks on the margins of society. Jesus is baptized into their world so as to fully disclose God's love for them as they are, not what they should be. Imagine the scene. John the Baptist has been baptizing people all day long, and Jesus arrives and he steps into the leftover bathwater of people considered at that time to be unclean. It discloses God's willingness to go to any length at all, not just to love us, but to show it. Isn't that a great image? Jesus stepping in to that water without hesitation, even though he certainly did not need to for his own sake. God loves us as his beloved, and that was shown at that event. In my opinion, this is one of the most significant statements in the Gospels where we should take most comfort from. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. These words confirm not only that we are loved, which is a huge thing, but also affirm that we're accepted and acceptable just as we are, as my mother would say, warts and all. But let's dip into the text again. The job of the school chaplain can be very rewarding and yet sometimes challenging. Having taken a couple of school assemblies, it can be difficult. Difficult to hold attention, difficult to land the right message. Chocolate usually helps, but I don't think that's what I'm trained to do. In one school, the chaplain made regular visits, met with groups of pupils to listen to them and also to tell the gospel stories. Often youngsters hadn't heard these stories and were interested, but mostly those who came along to his sessions were there because it got them out of maths. On this occasion, the chaplain was reading from our passage in Mark, and he read, "No sooner had Jesus come out of the water than he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit like a dove descending on him." The chaplain looked round the group. Heads were down. People were fidgeting, yawning. Just a typical session in the school. He talked with the group before him about the meaning of this passage and said that heaven was opened so that we can all have access to God. Immediately, one young man sat up in his chair and said, "No, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that." The chaplain was encouraged. Someone had been listening. But even better though, this young man had an opinion. The boy said, "No, that's not what it means. Heaven was torn apart so that God could get to us. When God's on the loose, nobody's safe. And he continued to say, and God can therefore reach down for us at any moment. When God's on the loose, no one is safe. He can reach down for us at any moment. I love this interpretation of Mark's scripture. I love the fact that it tells us here, and the image it presents for us, that God ripped heaven open at that moment. And he can rip heaven open at any moment to get to us. God's love is not dependent on us making the first move, me deciding it might be tomorrow, a week on Tuesday. God can rip heaven open at any moment to get to us. It's a powerful thought. You are the beloved child of God. If you're like me, there's times in your lives when you desperately need to hear whose you are and how unconditional his love is. Desmond Tutu was asked in an interview, what was the worst thing about apartheid, the racial discrimination, segregation in South Africa at that time? He responded, ultimately, it's actually the way it makes you doubt that you are a child of God. The worst thing you can do to someone, the worst thing you can do to yourself, is to doubt that you are the beloved of God. The worst thing you can do to someone, the worst thing you can do to yourself, is to doubt that you are his beloved child. But what about the church, and what part does it play? The beloved community is above all rooted in love, is it not? Love is the most powerful force in the universe, but it's a force that must be chosen. We must choose to love. We must choose to not allow our differences to divide us, but rather to celebrate those differences. Those differences as unique expressions of God's love and his wonderful creation. Love is what we were created for, and love is what we're called to do right now. We're called to God's beloved community and to be faithful to that vision. So, when you put on your long fur coats, your big brimmed hats, your dark sunglasses and your camouflage, then you deny that you are a beloved child of God, that God loves us, loves our authentic and true selves. Oh yes, it's easy to take the safe option. How often do we believe that if people really, really knew who we were, the warts and all stuff, they wouldn't like us? The truth is that when we remove our disguises, our true selves are exactly what God loves. We need to stop denying who we really are. Start acknowledging and believing that we're loved perfectly by God. Henri Nguyen was a Dutch Catholic priest, a professor and a writer, and he writes to his friend in the 1980s, who's a secular Jewish man from New York. Yes, there is that voice that speaks from above and from within, and that whispers softly and declares loudly, "You are my beloved, on you my favour rests." It certainly is not easy to hear that voice in a world filled with voices that shout, "You're no good, you're worthless, you're despicable, you're a nobody," unless you can demonstrate the opposite. Nguyen continues that listening to that voice with great inner attentiveness, he hears at the centre of the words that say, "I have called you by name from the very beginning. You are mine and I am yours. You are my beloved and on my favour rests." Can we start to recognise that we are the beloved of God? All of us now. We must claim that by accepting who we truly are. Who God created us to be, we must receive that perfect love from God. In doing so, our vocation, our calling, our life's work, our mission, our purpose becomes clear. Yes, Jesus was perfect, and yes, Jesus was loved. We are nowhere near perfect, and yet we too are loved. Jesus went first and made the way for us. Now it's up to us to carry God's unconditional love into the world, to step out to do that. God loves each one of us so much that he tears heaven open to get to us. When God's on the loose, no one is safe. No one is excluded. We are connected as the beloved, and we must be ready to step out of the shade, own it, and share it in our ministry as his church. Amen.